Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have our own vocabulary in the church, don't we? We've talked about this a time or two in the children's messages, but have you ever thought much about it? Maybe, maybe not. Now, if you grew up in the church, you grew up hearing a lot of these churchy words, and over time, you probably figured out what they were based on how they were used and the context that they were used in. But if you didn't grow up in the church, these words might seem a little bit more foreign to you. But even if you did grow up in the church, you've noticed that we just don't use a lot of these churchy words outside of the church, outside of worship, outside of Bible studies. Words like salvation, words like redemption, incarnation, righteousness. Even words like grace, which we use a lot, especially in the Lutheran church, we kind of know what it means, and we can definitely use it in sentences. We use it appropriately. But if we had to define it, it would be a lot harder. Because a lot of these churchy words, we use other churchy words to help define it, so it's not always a helpful way to describe it. Well, this week I had one of those churchy words stump me, and that word is mercy. We use it all the time in worship. In fact, if you were to go through today's bulletin, not including the psalm, the gospel lesson, or the sermon, we've either said or sung the word mercy 23 times. I mean, that's a pretty high number. Now, in the psalm, the word that's most often translated mercy is in the psalm 6 times, but it's not translated mercy in this particular psalm, but it's the same word. And then, of course, in the gospel lesson, Jesus tells the lawyer to go and do likewise, to have mercy, just like the Samaritan man did. For example, every Sunday we sing the Kyrie. The Kyrie, Kyrie means Lord, eleison means have mercy. So every Sunday, as we gather together, we are praying this beautiful song, asking God to have mercy on us, on the church, for the unity of all, for our work and our play. We are asking God to have mercy. So we pray it, we say it, when we can open the confession, most merciful God, God delights in granting pardon and mercy. In the prayers of intercession, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I mean, we say it a lot, but it's a lot harder to define. Again, in a way that makes sense and doesn't use other big churchy words to define it. And so when I stumped myself this week trying to find a simple way to define mercy, I thought, okay, this is a problem here, because if the pastor can't even find an easy way to define mercy, how can I expect or hope that all of you would be able to define mercy in a simple way? So here are a few things. One, we believe that mercy is one of the characteristics of God. God is merciful. And so all of us who bear the image of God bear that mercy in us, and we're called to reflect that mercy, to mirror that mercy in our relationships with others. Mercy is used over 250 times in the Old Testament alone to describe God. The Hebrew word hesed is used 250 times, but in English, it's only translated into mercy a few times. Some of the other ways that this word is translated: steadfast love, compassion, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, grace, loyalty, loving kindness. You see, this one Hebrew word is so full of meaning that it's hard to translate it into English. And so we use all of these different English words to translate this one word, which today, in our example today, we're talking about as mercy. So it's really not like a math equation where mercy equals this one thing. Actually, mercy is more like a concept. Mercy equals all of these different things. Mercy is not a feeling, it's an action. So here's how I might simplify, after spending a lot of time trying to figure this out, here's how I might simplify defining mercy. Mercy is a completely undeserved kindness and generosity. And mercy is God's tender-hearted, deep and loving compassion for all of creation and for humanity. So I'm going to say those again, because I need to keep saying it so that I can remember all of that. Mercy is a completely undeserved kindness and generosity. Mercy is God's tender-hearted, deep and loving compassion. So when we ask God to have mercy on us, we're asking God, in God's deep and tender-hearted love, to have compassion for us. We're asking God to show us undeserved kindness and generosity. So mercy both describes who God is and how God acts toward us. In Micah 6:8, which is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, we are called to love mercy, right? What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? So as I've been thinking about mercy this week and trying to define it, we are to love mercy. We are called to mirror and reflect God's mercy toward us in our relationships with others. So what brought all of this up in my mind and my heart this week was the gospel lesson for today. We're all familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan. A lawyer is trying to trick Jesus, to trip him up. And so he asks Jesus, what must he do to inherit eternal life? You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength and your neighbor as yourself. It's the entire law summed up into two commandments. It's God's desire for humankind summed up into a few words. But wanting to justify himself, he asks, but who is my neighbor? And before I get too up into my own self, we're all kind of like that lawyer, aren't we? We know we are supposed to love our neighbor, but we want to make sure we know who our neighbor is. And actually, even more than that, we want to know who our neighbor isn't. So that if we know who they aren't, we can just walk right by. If we know who they aren't, we can pass to the other side of the road. We want to know who our neighbor isn't so that we can ignore them. We can dismiss them without feeling too much guilt or remorse. But Jesus doesn't offer the lawyer words to justify him or words to justify us. Instead, he points out our selfishness, our pride, and our prejudices. And he does so by telling this story of the Good Samaritan. And by telling this story, he offers basically the only qualification for neighborness, and that is someone who is suffering, someone who is vulnerable, and someone in need. That's what a neighbor is. Someone suffering, someone vulnerable, and someone in need. And so any other line, any other wall that we might build up, any other description we can think of to make someone not our neighbor falls away. It cannot stand with Jesus's story and description. Jesus speaks of someone who is merciful in spite of differences by describing a neighborly love that is borderless, that is selfless, that is deeply kind and generous and compassionate. A love that is so expansive that it can reach across any human border we create for the good of the other. And with this description and story from Jesus, we realize, and pretty uncomfortably, that being a neighbor isn't about who we are or who someone else is, but being a neighbor is about action, and it's about doing. Being a neighbor is about being merciful and doing mercy. Which brings me back to the word mercy. Because Jesus tells the story of some really religious and pious men walking by this beaten man who was left half for dead. And we know that they see him because Scripture says that they saw him. It's not that they didn't see him and accidentally walked by. They saw him and intentionally crossed to the other side of the road. But then along comes a Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews hated each other. They were the most enemy of enemies. And yet this Samaritan cares for the biggest enemy in the world that he could have. And he goes above and beyond in caring for him. So Jesus asks the lawyer, of all the people in the story, which one is the neighbor? And the lawyer replies, the neighbor is the one who showed mercy. The one who saw someone who was suffering and vulnerable and in need. The one who acted with compassion and kindness and love and generosity. The one who acted out love toward his enemy. The one who showed mercy. And although Jesus' reply is simple, it's a lot harder to live out when he says, go and do likewise. Brothers and sisters, we are called to not walk by, to not ignore or dismiss those who are suffering, those who are vulnerable and in need. Even if we can come up with really good reasons why we think they are undeserving of mercy, we are called to be merciful in spite of differences. We are called to love as God loves, with a neighborly love that is borderless and selfless, deeply kind and generous and so expansive that it can reach across any boundary, any distinction that humankind can come up with, all in order for the good of the other. This is who God is. God is merciful. God is mercy. And in our baptism, we are clothed with Christ and we are called to grow more and more into the likeness of Christ throughout our whole lives. We are called to grow more and more into being merciful so that we can love others with the same mercy that God has loved us with. May it be so. Amen.